Okay, now it's 8:30, so we are supposed to have our morning chanting and reflection, but we already done it this morning. I administered the 8 precepts, and those who take the 5 precepts, they have also taken. And the other thing is, I have explained the importance of refuge, why take precepts, the benefits of precepts, and all the related reason for doing the puja. Puja is to enable us to develop the spiritual faculty so that we recall to mind the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then when we understand what this Triple Gem are, our faith become different. Through knowing who is the Buddha clearly and understanding his unique quality, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever born, your faith in him become different. Then when you understand his teaching can liberate your mind, bring about enlightenment, your faith is different again, enhanced. Then this will drive you to cultivate. That's how virya, the second spiritual faculty, come. When you see the important, when you understand what the Buddha meant, the danger of heedlessness, the danger of not training your mind to develop this wisdom, and the danger of not following his advice to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. We are taking care of precepts to take care of karma. So all this, when you understand, this virya will drive you to cultivate. And to cultivate is to develop sati, like I explained on the day one. Sati is mindfulness. Mindfulness is just awareness before the knowing. There is no mind involved, no mundane mind involved. The aggregates of mind are not there. It's just an awareness before the knowing. So the moment you are silent without thought, you are already aware. You don't try to be aware. No point. You see it clearly. Then meditation becomes simple. Meditation is actually don't do anything. When you are not doing anything, the mind is not active, the mundane mind. When the mundane mind is not active, you are with the true mind. But human beings' problem is because they have mental hindrance. They don't have spiritual faculty. They are not able to be in the state of sati, awareness, silent, to realize the true mind, the natural state of mind. That's the reason why they cannot meditate. They cannot have this sati within. So when you understand, when you diligently cultivate, you train your mundane mind, this mundane mind naturally ceases by itself. It will not have the habitual tendency to react, to stir, and to behave the way it used to be. That's how you become heedful, aware. Then stabilize that mindfulness. It becomes samadhi. That's how the spiritual faculty falls into place. So chanting is a very useful instrument. So chanting is developed through puja. Puja is devotional practice. Practice devotion to develop the faith, the spiritual faculty. Then when you have sati and samadhi, your mind is quiet, without thought, unwavering, collected. That's why it can see things as they are. It can awaken the truth. Then it does not see things according to your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning. All this doesn't come into play. It's just the way things are, seeing things as they are, without words, without concept. And that silent mind, true mind, just awaken. That's how meditation is to be done. Okay? Now, this morning, I got two questions. This question comes from Brother Gan. It's very good. So, thank you, Brother Gan. So, the first question is, Brother Teo, could you elaborate, when someone is meditating, there is no meditation? So, I should correct the question a bit. It should be, when someone is meditating, there is no meditator. The right question should be, there is no meditator. There is meditation, but there is no meditator. So he wants to understand, what does this mean? So this one, if you can understand what the Buddha expressed in the salutation to the Dhamma, you will understand. Like last night we went through, when we chant the evening chanting, we chant the supreme praise to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. The Dhamma has the unique characteristic as explained by the Buddha, is that this Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till death. So that is one aspect. So if you cannot realize the enlightenment in the here and the now, you need to wait till you die before you know, then that is not sanditiko. That is not the teaching that the Buddha is talking about. The second characteristics of this Dhamma is akaliko. Akaliko means it is timeless. Time refers to mental time. I write it down so that you understand. This unique characteristic of akaliko is akaliko, timeless. Timeless here means beyond time, beyond thought. Time beyond thought. So here time means mental time. And what is mental time? What is mental time? When you arise your thinking, you understand? When thought is moving, that is the mental time. Means your mind is in operation. Whereas the other one is what? The other one is physical time. Physical time is measured by what? Physical time is measured by science. Our 1 year is the rotation of our earth around the sun. Then the 1 year divided into 365 1/4 day. Then 1 day 24 hours. Then within the hour there are 60 minutes. Then within the 60 minutes there are 60 seconds. So physical time is a measurement against a movement. So this one is within nature. Whereas mental time, it can be timeless. When your time within the mind doesn't move, means you don't produce a thought, then that is the timeless. That's why the Dhamma is timeless, akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time. If you use the instrument, which is thought, to meditate, if you use thought-based meditation, whereas you use thought as an instrument to meditate, how can you realize that which is akaliko? You can't. So thought-based meditation cannot realize akaliko. Understand? You can follow this point. Can you follow this point? How many of you don't understand? Or I ask the other way around. How many of you understand? At least got a few who understand. If you don't understand, you better ask. Otherwise, I can't share. I can't express further. So this aspect of time, you have to understand. Because when you meditate, you cannot understand this too, you cannot meditate. So the question that Brother Gan asked is very good. He said, could you elaborate, when someone is meditating, there is no meditator. So when you meditate, if you use thought-based meditation, what happened? Who is meditating? This question is very important. Who is meditating? So this one is definitely the thought. Why? Because all meditation that they teach you is thought-based. Once it is thought-based, there is a thought doing meditation. You understand? So what does the thought do? The thought note, the thought focus, the thought concentrate, the thought want to know. The thought is seeking enlightenment, trying to let go, doing all those funny things. So this thought is active. So this thought, which is the meditator, is active. Means creating more thought. When it's creating more thought, means you are not silent, you are not aware, you are not in the meditative state, you are being heedless. Do you understand? That's why wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. Well, who meditate? The thought cannot meditate. The thought is within the field of thought. It cannot realize a state that is beyond thought, akaliko. So this is an extremely important understanding. So what is meditation? Meditation is silent. Don't do anything. Silent is the original state of the true mind. So the silent mind, without thought, is the true mind. So when you just relax, silent, and let the thinking process, the mental hindrance that arise because you don't have the spiritual faculty or they are not stable, you let it arise and pass away, then you don't feed it with any more thought energy. You don't think anymore. You don't try to know. You don't try to do anything. Just silent. Then what happens is, this thought, which is energy, they will dissipate. They will slow down. Then finally, it will cease. Then when it ceases, it's your original mind, true mind, before your stirring, before your reaction, before you create thinking. So what is thinking? Thinking comes from delusion. That's why under the Paticca-samuppada, the Buddha says, avijja paccaya sankhara. The meaning is dependent on ignorance. Mental activity arises. So this is mental activity or mental states. And this is ignorant. So this is how you can develop the understanding. Dependent on ignorant, because you don't understand, wanting to know, wanting to understand. That's why you create thinking. Because you think, by thinking, you can understand. So avijja paccaya sankhara, the first link, create heedless thinking. Without ignorance, without avijja, there is no thinking required. That's why you are just silent. When there is vijja, no need to think, no sankhara. No sankhara means no content or conscious, no mental activity, it's just silent, aware. And this silent mind is the meditative mind. Meditative mind. This one can meditate. And this is not a meditator. This one is just aware. So this awareness, it can insight into phenomena and awaken and understand without thought, nothing. Because this one, see things as they are. So all your movement, all your activity created by your mundane mind, this silent mind witness. And it does not judge. It does not create duality. It does not say anything. But it understands, because of what you do, suffering comes to be. Because you create duality, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. And this is what the Buddha Dhamma is all about. When you are silent, you can see how the mundane mind, through its own self-delusion, ignorance, create activity of mind. And from this activity of mind, the phenomenal world come to be. Then through your self-delusion, you grasp, you cling, you hold, you get yourself entangled and become miserable, afflicted. So understanding this is meditation. That's why meditation is just an awareness to understand the way things are, to see things clearly, to understand things clearly so that you know who are you, what are you, what is this form and mind all about. Is there another entity that is beyond the form and mind, that is connected to this form and mind? The entity that is connected to this form and mind is your true mind. True mind. And your true mind is your true nature. And this one, you have to be completely silent to realize it. If you are not silent, you cannot realize it. That's why normal people cannot develop the meditation because they don't understand this. That's the reason why the sixth patriarch, when he arrives, he teaches differently. He takes cultivator direct to the true mind. He said, don't waste time doing thought-based meditation. No need method, no need technique, no need to verbalize. Straight away go there. Then his teaching is very powerful. His teaching, he said, there are three things that you have to understand. What are the three things that you have to understand under Hui Ning's teaching? Yeah? The very important characteristic. Three important. Unique characteristic of Hui Ning's teaching, the sixth patriarch. Teaching. First one is what? Wu Nian. So the first characteristic is no thought. Wu Nian. The moment you are without thought means you are already aware. You are with your true mind, with your true nature. That's why don't go and think. Just relax, silent, and let it cease. Then after that, the second one is not easy. The second one, you need to meditate. He said the second unique characteristic is no mark. No mark of what? No mark of a self cultivating. Means you have to use the no-thought mind, the direct seeing from this true mind to insight into phenomena and realize that the form and mind is not real. It's impermanent, lead to suffering, empty, non-self. It's not you. That's why there is no mark of a self cultivating. If there is no mark of a self cultivating, there is also no mark of living beings. That's why there is no reality. Then this wisdom will liberate your mind from entangling with things like your loved ones, human beings and all those things, living beings. Then life form and all those things. Then the third characteristic is what? The most important one is no dwelling. Means the mind doesn't dwell. This one only enlightened being can do. If you are not enlightened, you cannot have this. The two and three, you need to have wisdom, enlightenment, before you can do. And the enlightenment comes from no thought through the direct seeing, the awakening. No dwelling means your mind doesn't dwell anywhere. How do you dwell? Your mundane mind, every moment, every instant, dwell everywhere. Like my speech. The moment you listen through the mundane mind, you dwell at what I am trying to say to you. You understand? Then when you perceive the Buddha Rupang, your mind, where does it dwell? Where does it dwell? Because that perception brings your mundane mind there, isn't it? You dwell there. Then when you smell something, you dwell with that sense data. Do you understand? So dwelling is every moment of perception, your mind arises. The consciousness, like yesterday I explained, from the spacious awareness, you shrink into one point and you input the content and you dwell there. Whereas enlightened beings, they don't dwell. They are just aware. Specific phenomenal awareness. If they want to know. They can perceive. They know what that thing is. But they don't proliferate the thought after that. They don't continue to think. Understand? They just aware. They move. Then they make decisions. Then when they are not doing anything, they are silent. Their mind is spacious awareness without a center. That's why this is the mind that has got no dwelling. So these three important unique characteristics of Huining's teaching is the mind must have no thought. Then only you can understand truth. Then it must have no mark. Otherwise you get entangled with the phenomenal world. Then it must not dwell. The moment you dwell, you get into trouble. Because every dwelling is delusion. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, they say, qi xing dong nian. You understand? When you arise a thought, means when your mind arise, the mundane mind arise, you create mental activity. This is what avijja paccaya sankhara is all about. So this mundane mind, which is with delusion, with ignorance, the moment you arise it, or you stir it, it creates mental activity. That's why qi xing dong nian. Dong nian qi wu ming means when there is activity, there is ignorance. Whereas wu nian, no thought, is wisdom. Wu nian, 就是智慧. Okay? Can follow? Ragat. Good. Then the second question is quite similar. Is awareness also meditating? What do you think? Can awareness meditate? Because this awareness is not an individual, understand or not? It's not a being inside there. This true mind cannot come out and live life, understand or not? But this one is without words, without concept. It's not an entity. That's why that one can meditate, correct? But that one is not a meditator, understand? Yeah, that one is not a concept, not a word, not an entity. That's why this true mind cannot come out and live life. But this true mind can awaken the former mind, can give rise to the wisdom. So the secret of meditation is this former mind, which is what the human being is all about, or the five degree of form and mind. This one, when you know how to silence your mind, this one will connect to your true mind. So this one is your true mind. Yeah? Let's say this is your true mind. So this true mind, when you silence your consciousness, when this consciousness silent, no thought, then this true mind, which is pure awareness, can arise. Then this pure awareness will insight into phenomena. Then it will awaken. Then it will give rise to wisdom. Yeah. This wisdom is very important. So this wisdom, or we call this the true mind, DM. Okay. So this wisdom, which is connected to this form and mind, will make sure this form and mind is no longer deluded. So enlightenment is, this form and mind you can say is enlightened. But this is not you, understand or not? Because this is impermanent. This one is anatta, non-self. Because it is not a permanent unchanging entity. So the enlightened being will know this is not him. There's no one to be enlightened, no attainment, nothing, according to Heart Sutta. But this one, because of the wisdom connected, it is no longer deluded. That's why this one will not suffer anymore. This one don't have any more ignorant delusion. That's why this one is what enlightened being is all about. But this one, the enlightened being will know, is not him. It's only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool. And this one got its duty. Because it is still subject to karma, even though you are enlightened. But because of your enlightenment, this wisdom will make sure there is no more negativity of karma. And that's how the perfect, noble life of the enlightened being is possible. You call it the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, the fruit of your hard work. After you awaken, you get to live the noble life of an enlightened being. But this wisdom, you must understand, the moment this form and mind die, this wisdom goes with it, finish. And this wisdom, when you are born, doesn't come to you. Because this one, you need to connect, meditate, then link. Like the Buddha, before the age of 35, underneath the Bodhi tree, the whatever perfection, they call it the Sambhogayakaya, spiritual nature, doesn't come back to him. Until he meditate, connect to that true nature, then he inherit, then this one come back. And then he become the Sammasambuddha. Before that, he is still an ordinary Putunyana, striving for enlightenment. So most human beings is like that. You come this way, you don't know how to silence this mind, you cannot connect to your true mind, you cannot develop the inheritance of your spiritual nature. You cannot develop this wisdom. This wisdom can only come about when the mundane mind is silent. Then this silent mind, the true mind, insight into phenomena. That's how it can happen. Then only the mind transforms. Okay? So your question is awareness, or you put in the word, is awareness is also meditating? You can say yes, the awareness or the true mind can meditate, but he is not meditating because there is no being inside there. It is just that nature. That nature that is just aware. And this awareness, because it's connected to the form and mind, the moment anything moves, the universal characteristic arises, it awakens, it understands. Then it knows everything is just condition arising, dependent originating. No reality, impermanent. Because it's impermanent, it's empty. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. But the phenomenal world is like that. It's a dependent, originating world, conditioned, arising world. It's not the unconditioned. That's why if it's not for the unconditioned, the Buddha say, escape from the conditioned world is impossible. That's why when you meditate, you need to silence the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditioned, arising mind. That is not your true mind. So if you do not understand this point, you cannot meditate. So you have to realize in a meditation that there is a true mind which is silent, quiet. That's why I say you just relax, silent, aware. Until this thinking all slow down, then all of a sudden you reach a point where there is no thought. And before it reaches the point of no thought, you will know. Because when the thinking slow down, your awareness is aware. That there is a shift of consciousness, suddenly, like the whole of your nature inside becomes required. Then suddenly, no more movement, still. Yeah. But most people, because they don't understand what this is, when that phenomenon of stillness happens, which is paucity, the tranquility of mind, or stillness of mind, you become curious. When you become curious, what you do? You start to think, then gone. That's how they cannot go in. That's why when that silent mind, when you meditate until very subtle, your object of meditation are very subtle, like your anapanasati, no more breathing, your rising, falling, no more movement, you just continue to silent. And then that mind will enter sati. Then it will develop the more refined mindfulness awareness and stabilize that silent mind, the true mind. This is what you're supposed to do. But hardly anybody understands this. That's why they go and use the thought to meditate. Actively want to know, actively creating meditating activity. So this question is very good. Eh? So I hope I have explained it to you. Okay? Sadhu. Eh? Let us rejoice. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Okay. What's the time now? Okay, you're supposed to meditate again. Eh? So now it's 9 o'clock. Huh? 9 o'clock. Okay, you can have your meditation. At this time it's longer. It's 1.5 hours.